So I want to talk a little bit about following Jesus today. We're going to look in Luke 9, specifically here, and read some verses. But before we read those verses, I want to look at a song in the Evening Light Hymnal, song number 221, and just read a little bit out of that song. Thank the Lord for all the ways that He is speaking to us. You know, I think how people sometimes describe that too far. But you know, and want to just describe God's voice to everything in life. You know, God's got a specific voice. He's got a specific message for us. And I thank God that He is speaking to us. And He does speak through His creation to us. In truth, He speaks to us through His creation. He speaks to us through His word. And He speaks to us through songs that He inspires to us. And we could probably come up with a few other things. But this morning we have a song that I believe was inspired by God. It matches up with His word. Therefore, I have confidence in that. And so I want to read from it a little bit to get started here. Following Jesus, following Jesus. Gently He leads me in the heavenly way. There's so much here. I'm not going to stop with every phrase, but you know, this is the heavenly highway we're walking on. This is Jesus we're walking with, and this is the heavenly highway we're walking on. What in the world is there worth more than that today? What is there worth more than to walk on the heavenly highway with Jesus? Watching and praying, trusting, obeying, He will restrain me from going astray. I don't want to go astray. I'm glad that He would restrain me, because I don't want to go astray. This is the heavenly highway, and this is Jesus I'm walking with. This is where I want to stay. I don't want my soul to be led astray. Following Jesus, He who has suffered to redeem me from sin, to buy me back from Satan. Oh, what a blessing while I'm confessing. He in His fullness is reigning within. What a blessing. God in His fullness, in the fullness of everything He is through Jesus Christ, His Son, His Spirit, reigning in the complete fullness of all He is. That's incredible. No wonder there are times that I struggle a little bit to understand how every day by day I just feel refreshed and renewed. And in my hard times that I do face, I feel a strength to enable me through those places. And nothing in that statement ignores the hard places we walk through. It's an amazement at the fullness of God and its ability to enable us through those times in our life and be with us. Thank the Lord for that. He in His fullness is reigning within. Following Jesus, I am delighted with His wonderful love. While I'm confiding in Him, I'm hiding. Soon I shall meet Him in heaven above. Just for a moment, not to get too far, but while I'm confiding in Him, I'm hiding, and soon I shall meet Him in heaven above. The Lord, who's been so good to me, as I have confided in Him, as I have trusted Him, as I walk through Him, and I walk through some places, and there's other people who stand up here and talk about the places they walk through, and there are some good places we walk through in our life. But there are some places in the eyes of the world that aren't the best that maybe would have been. But in all of those, I've found His blessing. And I found a peace in Him, and that He's been with me. All right? And I'm going to see Him. There's going to come a time where this faith is lost in sight. And this heavenly way is going to become a heavenly home. It's no longer the way. It's become home. And this is where I'm abiding now with the Lord forever. I can see Him. I can see Him. I can see Him in His glory over there. One day I'm going to be there. Thank the Lord. I want my heart to never forget that. Never forget what I'm doing here and who I'm walking with. Following Jesus. This is my duty for His goodness to me. Joyful in glory, telling the story. How in His favor I'm happy and free. He is my helper in doing the right. You know, this is what we're talking about this morning, is following Jesus. And I want to look at some verses here, and that I don't, well, as the Lord helps us bring them out, the thrust of the message today is what it means to walk with Jesus. We're not just going to walk with Jesus. We're going to look at what it means and say, Lord, I want us the path I want to take. I'm willing to separate what's not you, or I'm going to do what it takes to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to lay aside the things that would somehow hinder me. I want to have the right mind. I want to have the mindset you want me to have, Lord. I want to look at the world and see that you created it. Not just that there's a creator. That's great. But I want to see that you created it, that you yes. are the one that I'm walking with. And so I want to take the path, Lord, that you take. You know, to follow means to accompany, to be of the same company, to attend for any purpose, to come behind but in the same direction. In other words, to follow somebody, we are walking like they walked, in the paths they walked. And so we have a message from Jesus about the path that he was walking on while he was here on earth. This is what this is about this morning. And so as I look at this, I realize this is the path for me. If I want to follow Jesus, if I want to walk with him, then this is how it's going to happen. I want to take up the same heart, the same mindset, and live the same way. And so it says, 57th verse of Luke here, 9th chapter, 57th verse. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I will follow thee. Wherever you go, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Jesus said, okay, well, here's where I'm going. That's what this message is today. You know, he's just saying point blank, here's where I'm going. Here's the path I'm taking. This is the way I'm living here on earth. All right? And I want to say this morning that we all will be called to live this way. The manifestation of that, I'm going to tell you that we're not all going to live in the same house here on earth. That's not what this is talking about. Or we're not going to all, it's not all going to be manifested in the same way, but the spirit of the way the Lord walked in this world, this is what he's telling us. This is what his heart was. This is the way he walked here. All right? My head will not probably ever lay down in the same places that Jesus' head laid down. And he did lay his head down in rest. All right? But what he said was, he said, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Did Jesus ever lay his head down while he was here on earth? Yes. We know he did, just because we know he's human. We know he laid down and he rested, but we have stories in the Bible that tell us he was laying down in the boat. So he's not saying that there was literally nowhere that I ever put my head down. There's a spirit, there's an attitude, there's a vision, a way that he lived his life here. That foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, just keep your place here because we're going to refer back to it. But let's read over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, to kind of delve into what Jesus is saying here. The 11th chapter, and we'll pick up in the 13th verse. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The Lord was not living for someplace here on earth. He was living for home, for heavenly home. And as it said here, if they had been mindful from whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to have returned. You know, if I'm going to be successful with the Lord, where I lay my head is here on earth is completely his business. My ownership is in heaven. And you know, that's important to live our lives that way, to understand that where I lay my head here, is that my home? Is that my place? Is that my ownership? Is that what's mine? What are you trading in for it? The way that Jesus was saying he was living is, my home is in heaven. My ownership of my place to lay my head is there. That's where I'll not let any man take that from me. I'll not let any man touch that. I'll not let any man have a hand in that, because that's my home. That's my place. That's my ownership. That's what I'm living for. And you know what? I may end up in this place here on earth, and my head may lay down here, and it may lay down here for a while, and it may lay down in this place, and maybe it'll lay in the same place for a long time, but that's not my home. That's not what I'm living for. That's not where my ownership is. My ownership is in heaven by the grace of God and by His blood. You know, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to live that same way. If I start living like my ownership's here on earth, well, I'm not following in the path that Jesus lived. But I can follow with Him. I can walk with Him. I can have a heaven home, and that can be where my ownership is. You know, then he had another thing here. He said back over in Luke, the ninth chapter, and the 59th verse, and he said to another, Jesus said to another, follow me. Come after me. Walk in the path I'm walking. Come on this heavenly highway with me. All right? But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, I don't think that, you know, in another place Jesus saw a family, a mom, a widow with a son, and they had the funeral procession, and he walked right up to it, and he raised that son out of that place. I don't think Jesus had an aversion to funerals. I don't think he was saying, don't ever attend a funeral. No. That's not what he was saying. Again, he's talking about the spirit of the way he walked in this life. You know, over in Luke 14, we have as they said one time to Jesus, these are hard sayings. Who can hear this? The words are spirit, they are life. Look for the message of what Jesus is saying. And this is another place we can look at and say, that's a hard saying, but look at the message and what he's saying here and understand it. Luke 14 and 26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The word here, disciple, is someone who's a follower of Christ. Basically, in this case, he said, my disciple. And so he said, if any man hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters. So we know that if Jesus was saying that you are supposed to hate, in terms of what we see that word, that it would directly contradict with verse after verse after verse where Jesus tells us to honor our father and mother. He tells us to love our children, to love our wife. He tells us all kind of verses along those lines. So what is Jesus saying here? What's the message he's trying to get across? Well, this word hate here, part of the translation of it means to love less. And so now we see a message that's backed up in the rest of the Word of God. To love less. If any man would come after me and he does not love less his father, his mother, let's say it an easier way for us in our ears to hear it today, maybe let's say it this way. If any man come after me and he does not love me more than his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. You still are to love all those people. The special love and to take care of them in all the ways that you're supposed to. But none of them is to come ahead of Christ. None of them is to come before. And if we don't think that happens to us in life, Lord, help us to be more insightful. You know, we're going to find we love these people greatly. And we're going to find a need for the Lord to help us to keep that, to love them fully and completely and to be passionate about them, but never above Christ. All right? Never where they are the ones who are making us make our decisions. Now, let me just put a little aside there. That's not even fair to them. That's not even fair to the one that you're loving, to lead them in a position where they suddenly have taken a role of Christ that Christ is supposed to have in your life. That's not even fair. And there's no excuse for us doing that. The Lord has stepped in and said, I will be the one you follow. I will be the one. And in doing that, then all of a sudden we find a way to love them, support them, and care for them that we would never be able to do otherwise. So we, for the very sake of those around us, we need to love Jesus more than we love. We love them all, but he needs to have that higher place of reverence in our life. That's the one we're following. Besides that, we love them all. But when it comes to following, we're following this one. It seems like time and again, I think that's enough for that statement. Let's leave it there. I think the Lord can help us to see examples where maybe people have stood for something, taught something, and then the ones they love made other decisions. And it was like, well, did you ever really stand for that? Why is it suddenly going by the wayside now in this time? We don't want to live that kind of life. We want to provide stability to those we love, and we do that by following Jesus. Yes. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be the same. And if we follow him, we will give the best chance to those around us to have something to stabilize them in their lives. Just us is not enough, all right? But anyway, so this is what Jesus is saying here when he's talking about back over in chapter 9 of Luke here in the 60th verse. And he says, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What is your highest love, your highest passion, your highest aim in life? Who is it that you love and worship more than anyone else? Let it be the Lord. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to have to be, because it's not fair to people to expect them to stabilize you in life and expect that they'll be the ones who keep you on the path. It's not fair to anyone to put them in that place. The Lord's the only one who can do that. Love him above them all and follow him. All right. Then it said also here, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. All right, and so there's a little bit of, I don't know, in my mind as we read this, a little disconnected until we really look at what the words say here. Because Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, he just said, I'm going to go tell him bye. Elisha did the same thing when Elijah called him. What was the deal about not going and saying bye to his family? Well, as you delve into what this 61st verse is actually meaning, all right, it's talking about setting my affairs in order. Let me go back and take care of my business. Let me go back and get everything set up, and then I'll come follow you. And now we see like the young rich young ruler where he said, go sell all that you have and come follow me. Well, it matches up with that verse there, understanding that if I'm going to follow the Lord, I can't have one mind over here thinking about all my affairs of this life and making sure they're profitable, and another mind over here trying to follow God. If I'm going to follow the Lord, he's going to have the preeminence completely in that manner of my life. And in other words, then I no longer look for my sustenance from my affairs. That's not where my sustenance comes from. Even though God gives me that place to walk and he brings stuff out of that, that my sustenance in life comes from the Lord. Yes. Whatever he puts in front of me to do, I will do. But I don't have my affairs over here where I'm taking care of this life. That's going to have to be pushed aside and given to the Lord. By saying pushing it aside, I'm not really saying it quite the way. You will have to let go of yourself. But what you're doing really is you're pushing it into the hands of the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll be satisfied with whatever you give me, because what I'm living for is you. You are my sustenance. I'm going to give all my time to you. And I'm going to allow you to provide for me. As you tell us to over. Now, once again, we've gotten in a place where we see verse after verse after verse that says, give no thought to tomorrow. Was Jesus saying that? What was he saying there? He's saying, let me take care of that. If you go through that verse and that passage of scripture there in Matthew, it goes on and it talks about how that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide. You know how he's going to provide for you most often? Paul said, I labored when I was amongst you that I would not be a burden to you. The Lord's going to give you things to do to bring provision out of in your life. I remember I've told the story sometimes when we were in one of our adoptions, and people say they understood the money that it took and the money that we had coming in, and they say, how did this happen? And you know, I confessed to them, I thought I'd meet a rich friend, but you know what? The Lord gave me a job to do, and out of that, He provided more than that job appeared to be able to provide. And that's what God will do for you in life. He's probably going to put in front of you work to do. But let Him be in control of that. Let Him decide where it is you need to be. And let Him bring out of that what you need, because He will bring abundantly above beyond what you can imagine. All right? If you're willing to be satisfied with what He provides. Because it won't be in the eyes of the world necessarily abundantly above and beyond. But it'll meet your every need and enable you to do His work. And if you've got something over here that you're trying to provide for your family and follow the Lord somehow, or provide for whatever it is you're trying to provide for, it's going to hinder you being given to the Word of God, from the Lord working what He needs to work in your life. All right, so no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. All right, in John 21, there's some other scriptures here about following the Lord. John 21 and 19. You know, part of following Jesus, if we're going to be successful, we've listed three things out here. Now, here's a fourth. All right? If your mind is all about what's happening with somebody else, you're going to be hindered in your walk with the Lord. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to see it as a personal walk. That you're not going to be successful in it looking at Bill, Bob, or Susan over here and what's happening in their life and what God's allowing to happen. That's going to be nothing but interference in your walk with the Lord. You're going to need to focus on you and the Lord and what He's doing in your life. It says here, John 21 and the 19th verse, He spoke here to Peter about the way Peter was going to die in the 18th verse. And it says, this spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when He had spoken this, He saith unto Peter, Jesus says to Peter, follow Me. Here's what's going to happen to you, Peter. Follow Me. Go My path. Go the way that I've walked in this life. And so then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know this refers to John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Lord, You just told Me My path. But what about him? You know, because You better make sure that his is just as bad as mine, or it's just as rough as mine, Lord. Or You better make sure it matches up, Lord. Lord, what about him? Are You going to be fair? Because if he gets to go a certain way, why don't I get to go a certain way? He gets to go to Patmos, why don't I get to go to Patmos? He gets to do this, why don't I get to do that? And the Lord looked at him and said, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Nothing. Why are you looking over here? This is nothing but hindrance, nothing but interference. It was for Peter, and it is for us. He that compareth himself among themselves are not wise. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. All right. There is not one shred of benefit. It is nothing but hindrance to look over and see what's happening over here and allow it to affect me. What is it, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou Me. All right? Excuse me. John 10 and 27. Let's turn over there. So there's a fourth thing. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And don't let it affect us what's happening in someone's life over there beside us. What matters is what the Lord's doing in our life. All right, 10 and 27. Well, let's back up to the 25th. This is Jews. Jews are talking to him there in the 24th verse. They said, how long you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. All right. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. I have given you the word, just like I gave all these other people. And there are people who are believing and they are following me, but you're not. You know why you're not? Because you're not listening. Your ears are not open to my voice. All right? Why? All right? It goes on and says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So your ears are not open to my voice. Ask the Lord to please help us to make this across. May His Spirit get it across to us. There's the saying, we hear what we want to hear. You're going to have to deal with that if you're going to follow the Lord. You're not going to be successful following the Lord hearing what you want to hear. You're going to have to open your ears to His voice and let it be applied to your life. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, tell me exactly what you think about me. Lord, search me. Not with any qualifiers, not with me anticipating. Lord, you just tell me. You tell me true from the word. You open up and speak to me. Because if I don't listen that way, I'm not going to hear his voice. And I'm going to be hindered in following Jesus and staying on this path with him. It says, John 12:27, to kind of go with this. Let's turn over there. Well, I'm sorry, that's not quite the right reference. So we're going to just leave that. Oh, yes, it is. I'm sorry. I'm not down all the way. Okay, John 12:27, Jesus is speaking. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So this is what happened. This is what occurred. And evidently there were people who heard it and heard these words and recorded it this way. And they have documentation. This is what happened. But this is not what everybody standing there heard. All right? The people, therefore, that stood by heard it said that it thundered. And others said an angel spake to him. There was about three different ways that people perceived what had happened just then. Not what was said, but what happened. Lord, help us. I want to have ears open to the Lord, open to His cry, to His voice in my life, because it demonstrates to me the possibility of standing right in the middle of the Word of God and thinking it's just thundering. I don't want to be there. I want to hear when the Lord speaks to me in life. If I'm going to do that, I have to clean out my ears, so to speak, of my opinions, and I have to insert His word into my life and begin to value it above whatever my thoughts are. As long as I'm valuing my thoughts along with the Word of God, I'm going to hear thunder when He speaks. When I get to a place where I value the Word of God exclusively without my thoughts combined with it, just strictly who He is, when I value it that way, then the Lord can truly speak to me and say things that I never could hear before and that I wouldn't hear any other way, except that I've swept aside all of my thoughts, all of my opinions, and strictly asked for the pure Word of God in my life to speak to me. All right? That's why some heard thunder and some heard the voice saying what it said. So let's look over here in Luke 9:23. This is on up. We know our text that we started off with was in this chapter, and this is on up before it in the same chapter. And in the 23rd verse of the 9th chapter, it said, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is it advantage if a What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. All right. So the bottom line in following Jesus, we don't get there being who we are. Who I am right now, even adding in everything that Christ has done in my life to this point, it's not going to keep me on the road with Jesus. It will not keep me on the road with Christ. If I'm going to stay on the road with Christ, I am only going to stay there by a willingness to deny myself, to deny who I am. Meaning there's a complete desire that in every way, no matter how tiny or how big, in every single way, that Christ would replace who I am in life. And Lord help me with who He is. If that was an immediate transition, there would be no more need to pick up our cross daily. There literally would be no more need. But the Lord told us to pick up the cross daily because it is not an immediate transition. We do not get there based on who we are even in Christ. We get there by a willingness to take up our cross and daily deny who we are in every way, great and small, and allow it to be replaced with Christ. We will find as we do that that there are plenty of things. I will testify this morning freely and openly before you that there are plenty of things that the Lord still needs to replace in my life, and I'm quite confident that a lot of them I don't even know about. There are works God wants to do with me. I'm just, by looking at the Word and by looking at life and by what's already happened in my life to this point, I'm just telling you, there's still works that the Lord needs to do in me. I'm confident of that. So I want to be willing. I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk with Him on this heavenly way. I want to take up my cross daily. And Lord, help me. You see me struggling with that? Pray for me. If I see you struggling with that, pray for you. Because this is how we're going to stay on this road. Lord, help us to pick up our cross and walk with the Lord. You pray for me.